Good morning, everyone. Well, you've noticed we've shifted gears here this morning. We're on to a new book, a new letter. We're beginning Philippians this morning. We're going to be in Philippians probably for most of the rest of this through the summer. And then right now, Lord willing, we'll plan on doing a marriage and family series after that, probably beginning in early September, that will run through most of the rest of this year. That's the plans right now as the Lord is leading us, and if he wants to change that, he can, but that's where we're heading at this point. Philippians is a letter of wonderful encouragement. So if you've been gone through some difficult times, this letter is going to bring great encouragement to you, and I'm excited about sharing this letter. We have the privilege of bringing the Word of God to you, and sometimes doing that is a challenge because the Word of God is challenging, and it's difficult, and sometimes we get hit between the eyes with the Word of God. He's spurring us on in our faith. He's pushing us. This letter that we're going to cover in Philippians, we're going to get some of that, but it's rooted in deep, deep love and affection. We're going to see as we go through this letter, it's like a loving father affirming and encouraging his children on in their faith. That's what Paul's doing towards the Philippians, but in a broader sense, it's God who's inspired this letter for his children, for us to encourage and spur us on in our faith as well. That's what we're going to see as we make our way through this letter. Today we get the introduction part of this letter. And with that, Paul's going to do his similar normal greetings. And then he's going to express how he feels towards these Philippian believers that he's known for some time. We're going to see him expressing his thanksgiving and his joy and his longing for these believers. This introductory portion sets a foundation for the rest of this letter. So as we look to that, before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we do give thanks and praise to you, and we do always, Lord, just are so blessed to be able to come and worship you with hearts that have been open, hearts that have been softened, hearts that can be filled with you, hearts that you have transformed and continue to transform. Lord, may we continue to give our heart to you in worship now as we look to your word. Help us to see, Lord, and understand and see how this impacts our life. And may it be an encouragement and may it spur us on in our faith as well. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you haven't already, I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians. Even as I share most of these verses on the screen, I think it's still helpful for you to be able to see each verse in the context of what's around it. So if you would, open your Bibles there. So we begin with the authors. As is customary in that time, they started their letters out with who the author of the letter was. And we see that it's Paul, and we know Paul. We have a good understanding who Paul is. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he wasn't always that way, though, was he? We know that it wasn't until on that road outside Damascus that Paul had a unique encounter in Jesus with Jesus, and it transformed his life. In a few days, he went from being a hater of Christians and an enemy of Jesus to being called by God to suffer in sharing the gospel. And we know Paul took that calling very seriously and devoted the rest of his life in service to the Lord. But not just Paul is listed here, also Timothy. As part of Paul's service, he went on several missionary journeys. On one of the first ones he went on, he went to a number of different places, including Lystra, which is just above that yellow star on the map. This would be present-day Turkey. So he goes there, and he shares the gospel there. As far as we know, first one to do that, the church is established there. Lots of wonderful things happen, and also lots of persecution. It's Lystra where Paul was dragged out of the city, stoned, and left for dead. But he got back up, walked back into city. That happened in Lystra during this first trip there. A few years later, Paul's second missionary journey, He goes back to a number of different places, including Lystra, which is below the Red Star. And while he's visiting Lystra, which is a follow-up visit, he meets a young man who has faith in Jesus Christ by the name of Timothy. And it was during the second missionary journey then Paul and Timothy formed a relationship. And Timothy then came along with Paul on the rest of this missionary journey. And he and Paul would have a relationship for the rest of their lives, doing ministry together. Together, they are servants or slaves of Christ Jesus. They see Jesus as their master, and they're faithful to him. At the time of this letter, it's about A.D. 60. And what has happened is Paul is under house arrest as this letter is being written. A couple years before, Paul was in Jerusalem, and if you remember the story, a riot broke out, and the Jews there wanted to kill Paul. The Roman soldiers came in, they rescued Paul, they took him to their jail. Eventually, a few days later, they snuck him out of Jerusalem at night because the Jews still wanted to kill him, and they brought him to Caesarea. And he remained in Caesarea for a couple of years as the authorities there tried to figure out what to do with Paul. And finally, Paul appealed to Rome, and they sent him to Rome. And it's now Paul in Rome writing this letter to the Philippians. That's a little background of what's going on. So that's who's writing the letter, and next we see who the letter is being written to. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. And the word saints in the New Testament can also be translated as holy ones. If we have faith in Jesus Christ in God's sight, we are saints, we are holy ones by God's grace upon our life. So this is written to the believers in Philippi. It says, along with the overseers. Overseers is an interchangeable word. It could be pastors, it could be elders. It's the leaders of the church. Along with the deacons. Deacons, that's a Greek word for servants. These would have been probably those with a special role of serving in the church. So this is being written to the believers in the church of Philippi. Philippi, Red Star, next to the Red Star, to the left of the Red Star, that's where Philippi is. It would be in southern Europe. And that was founded on Paul's second missionary trip. So here's kind of a timeline of what I've covered so far. Paul's second missionary journey was approximately AD 49 through 52. That's when Paul met Timothy. That's when the church of Philippi was founded. His third missionary journey was approximately AD 53 through 57. During that journey, he went through Philippi a couple different times. As he went out on his journey, he went through Philippi. As he came back, he went through Philippi. So at least a couple different visits during that time. And then also Paul's imprisonment from AD 58 to about 60. And that's AD 60 is about when this letter is being written to the Philippians. We go on to verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul customarily does in his letters, he wants those he's writing to have the fullness of God's grace and peace that comes through faith in Jesus. And this is Paul's introduction. This is his initial greetings to the Philippians. The introduction will go on in these next five verses, though, as we continue on. We're going to see Paul in verses 3 through 8 now. We're going to see him expressing his feelings towards the Philippians, what he thinks of them. And we're going to see that he is full of thanksgiving and joy for them. We're going to see this in verse 3 through 7. We're going to see he's full of thanksgiving and joy, and we're going to see why that is. And then in verse 8, we're going to see his intense longing for these Philippian believers. This is how Paul feels about them. And again, this is laying the foundation for the rest of this letter that we're going to look at. So let's begin with Paul expressing his thankfulness and joy for the Philippians. And it begins in verse 3 and 4. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. So do you see what Paul is saying there? He's saying, every time I go to the God in prayer for you guys, My prayer is filled with thanksgiving and it's filled with joy. Two wonderful things. This is what how Paul looks at the Philippians, and this is what he sees them characterized as. Someone who brings him great thanksgiving and joy. I once went to a conference, and one of the sessions of the conference was entitled something like Ministering to Joy Suckers. Ever hear the word joy suckers? And, you know, a joy sucker is usually a person that who's gone through life and maybe they've faced a lot of trials and they just have this discouragement about them. And as they interact with people, there's a lot of negativity to them. And so it's kind of like every person they meet, they're just trying to suck the joy out of them. Well, the Philippians were just the opposite of that. Every interaction we see that Paul has with them, they're feeling Paul with joy. That's what we're going to see as we continue on here. And here we're going to look now why that is. One of the reasons he has such thanksgiving and joy for the Philippians is because of their partnership in the gospel. And he says that in Philippians 1:5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And we can relate, we can understand this. We have partnerships in the gospel, don't we? We partner with Julie Alec. We partner with Jonathan and Lindsay, Phil and Sarah. We partner with them. And these partnerships are different because our experiences are different with them. Our partnership, for example, with Jonathan and Lindsay is a little bit different because we got to live with them for a year and a half. And that was a great blessing. But we've got a partnership with Julie, we have a relationship with her, and Phil and Sarah as well. And so while our partnerships vary because of our experiences that we have with each other, they are characterized by certain things. One of the things they're characterized is just by a relationship that we have with them, and they with us. So we have that in our partnership. They're characterized by providing. We provide financial support. Ryan was up here praying for them this morning. We provide prayer support for them. We provide them encouragement, and they provide us encouragement. That's some of the things that come from these partnerships, and that leads to thanksgiving and joy that we have. And I got an example of this, and this just came here in the past week. Julie Alec sent this. We had sent our support for her for the year, and she wrote a note. And she wrote this, Covenant Community Church, thank you for all your continued support of my labors here in St. Louis. Your generosity is one of the many ways the Lord loves and provides for me. As you give, know that you are empowering me to love, serve, encourage, and challenge girls at the college campuses in the St. Louis region. Oh, that they may know and grow in Christ. With much love and gratitude, Julie. Can you feel the joy and the thanksgiving in that? And doesn't that give you joy and thanksgiving, knowing we're partnering with somebody who loves Jesus Christ and who's passionately sharing the gospel? And so we understand what Paul is saying here. I'm so thankful, I'm joyful because of the partnership I have with you, Philippian brothers and sisters. That's what he's saying here. And we see that this partnership is like a puzzle because all we have is we've got the New Testament. We don't have all of the details of the experiences that the Philippians and Paul shared. All we have is pieces, but there are enough pieces to give us an idea of the beauty of this partnership. And we're going to look at some of them, and they're going to begin with this second missionary journey. And it was during this second missionary journey, as I mentioned, that Paul picks up Timothy and Lystra. They go on through a few different towns, and eventually they make their way up to Philippi. And as far as we know, this is the first missionary group that came to Philippi to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they arrive, one of the first people they meet is a woman named Lydia. Lydia is a woman who's selling purple cloth, if you remember that in the book of Acts. And they share the gospel, and she comes to faith in Christ, and you know what she does? She says, come and stay in my house. Can you see a partnership in the gospel immediately taking place? Paul and those with him share the gospel. Lydia comes to faith, and Lydia says, come and live with me so that you can keep sharing the gospel in Philippi. And what a blessing and what a joy that is. And not only that, but Paul's in Philippi, and lots of stuff's happening. And one of the things that is happening is he's being followed by a slave girl who's able to predict the future. And if you remember this, she goes around following Paul and those with him wherever they go, and she keeps shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But let me ask you, if you're out going around Coldwater or this area and you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, and somebody is following you and they keep shouting, these people are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Now that might be good to hear like once maybe in every place you go, but if it's said over and over again, how would you feel about that? Everywhere you went, this person was following you and they just kept shouting that stuff. It'd be a little distracting, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to minister to people. And Paul got upset about it. And he finally turned to the woman and he commanded the spirit in her to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. And it did. And that led to the owners of the servant girl becoming very angry because she lost her ability to predict the future. Her value went way down. So they dragged Paul and Silas before the officials of the town of Philippi, or the city of Philippi, and got all the people riled up. Kind of another riot broke out, something common for Paul. And the city officials decided that they were going to severely flog and then jail Paul and Silas, which they do. But if you remember the rest of the story, it was then that night in the jail, Paul and Silas, after being severely flogged and jailed, were singing hymns and praying to the Lord. They were doing the right thing. We've been studying this on Wednesday night, how we are to respond to persecution. And they were rejoicing because they were worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus. And then the earthquake hit and shook the jail, popped the doors open. And as we know, the guard was worried prisoner was going to escape. When they didn't, the guards came to Peter or to Paul and Silas and said, the guard said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then the officials realized Paul and Silas were Roman citizens and they mistreated them and they were worried. So they came to appease them and they also, though, asked them to leave town, but they didn't. Paul and Silas went back into town, back to Lydia's house, where they encouraged the believers there. You see all this stuff that's happening? Can you imagine the excitement and all the different feelings you would experience as you face this joy of seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ and then also facing these awful trials together? How that would bring them together? How that would cement their relationship? That's what was happening. That's the kind of partnership that the Philippians and Paul had. And it just didn't end there. Paul continued on the second missionary journey. Eventually, he went around this Tapa here and then went down into Achaia and went to Corinth and stayed there for 18 months. And while he was there, it appears that Timothy and Silas stayed back at Philippi. They waited for a time. And then they came, and when they came to Corinth, they brought with them a financial gift that the Philippians had gathered for Paul and those with him. It was enough of a gift that it allowed Paul to stop his work as a tent maker and devote his full time to ministering the word of God. The Philippians did that for him. Paul's going to later write in this letter, he's going to write again and again, you sent me, you alone sent me financial support. What an encouragement. What a wonderful reason why Paul saw them as partnering with the gospel with him and brought him great joy. But not only that, third missionary journey. goes back out, as I mentioned, back to Philippi, at least a couple different times. And Paul's sharing the gospel, but what else Paul's doing on this third missionary journey is he's taking up a collection for the people in Jerusalem who are suffering a famine. And he's going out, he's going to Philippi, and he's not even going to ask them for an offering because they're struggling financially and because they've given so much already. But when they learned that Paul was taking up this collection, they insisted on giving as part of it. And listen to these words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the Philippians. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God had given the Macedonian churches. Macedonian was a region. Philippi was one of the churches in there. This is primarily focused about the Philippian church. Verse 2, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Does anybody in here like going around seeking a collection of money for something? Anybody take joy in that? Most of us don't like doing that at all. And if that's how Paul felt about this task of this collection for the churches, imagine this kind of response and the impact it would have had on him. What encouragement it would have brought him to see these people, not only because they're willing to give to this fund, but their attitude about it. It would have just encouraged him so much. And so as Paul writes this letter of Philippians, it's about AD 60. He's had this partnership in the gospel with the Philippian church for about 8 to 10 years. So this has gone on for a long time. He has a strong and deep relationship with them. Again, I believe most of us can understand the thanksgiving and joy that comes with partnering in the gospel. Because you know what? It's only the gospel that can unite us. You got different personalities. We all have different backgrounds. Some of us are older, some younger. Some blue-collar workers in here, some white-collar workers. Some of us more wealthy, some of us not so much. Some men, some women. What unites us? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And not just us, but believers everywhere. It's one of the things that able to unite the gospel-believing churches in this area to go out and share Christ with others. So the partnership is one of the reasons for Paul's great thanksgiving and joy of the Philippians. The second reason, their genuine faith that will one day lead to glorification with Jesus. And this comes from verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul could look upon the lives of the Philippians and he could see God at work in their life. And again, we can understand this. Aren't we encouraged when somebody comes to faith in Christ and we see God working in their lives? I was just here this morning and I heard a testimony from somebody about somebody who had come to faith in Christ and they're sharing how their life is so different now. We're encouraged as we see their lives being transformed. We're encouraged as we see the power of God at work in their lives. Weren't we encouraged last week when Mike shared his testimony of what God's doing in his life right now? That's what Paul's saying here. I am looking upon you, Philippians, and I see your genuine faith. I see the power of God at work in your lives. And I believe he's going to keep that on going right to the time where you're going to stand before Jesus at judgment and you're going to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That was the second thing that brought great thanksgiving and joy to Paul. The third thing, they are held in Paul's heart. And this comes from Philippians 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That's what Paul is saying here as a third reason for his thankfulness and his joy. You know, and there is a bond that takes place between believers. And you, again, if you've ever run into somebody, maybe you've never met them before, but they have faith in Jesus Christ, instantly you have a bond with that person. When I was in seminary and through some of my travels throughout the world, I've been able to interact with different believers, and instantly I had a bond with them. And you know, sometimes that bond came even though we were from different parts of the world, even though we sometimes spoke different languages, even though we might have dressed differently or had different customs, we had this bond together because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And this bond, as we know, comes as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. I've shared this many times with you. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God does a work in our heart. He transforms our heart in such a way, a powerful way, that it works its way out in our expression of our lives, our words, our attitudes, our thoughts become different. It's because we have become one with Christ in faith. But what else happens, what else can happen when that takes place is fellow believers in Christ we can be one with as well. Just like we are one. You're in my heart. Hopefully I'm in your heart. We're in each other's heart because we have this bond with Jesus Christ through the gospel that allows us to have a bond together. We're cemented together in our relationships, whether we like it or not. God has made that a gift to us. And that's what Paul is talking about here as his third reason why he's thankful and joyful for the Philippians. He is bonded with them. The other expression Paul has is his intense longing for the Philippians. He's so thankful and joyful for them that he longs to be with them. And this we see as we look at verse 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. He's longing to be with them. They fill him with so much thanksgiving and joy. He just wants to be with them. Have you ever had times in your life where you were separated from somebody you loved and you longed or yearned to be with them? Maybe it's a boyfriend, girlfriend kind of thing. Maybe it's your spouse has gone someplace for a while. Maybe it's when your children leave home. You long or you yearn for them. Or when your children leave home, they long or yearn for being back home with you. One of the most powerful expressions of longing or yearning for their loved ones came as a man I know, a brother in Christ who served in Vietnam. He was a Marine. He's a tough Marine, and he served with a bunch of tough Marines. And he told me the story one time when they were in Vietnam that Bob Hope and his crew came and did entertainment, and it was around Christmas time. And he said the entertainment was good and all of that, but the thing he remembered most was when they sang Silent Night together. And he said all of these tough Marines, by the time we finished singing Silent Night, every one of us were crying. All these tough Marines yearned, they longed to be home with their loved ones. That's what Paul is describing here. He yearns, he longs to be back with the Philippians. Many in Paul's life persecuted him. Many gave him a difficult time. Many tried to take his joy away. Paul had many joy suckers in his life. But the Philippians were joy givers. And he was so thankful for them. And he so longed to be with them so that he could receive their great encouragement and love and so that he could give it to them as well. And then verse 8 ends with this amazing declaration of Paul. He says, for God is my witness how I yearn for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is a really bold statement Paul's making here. The word affection can also be translated heart or love or care. And so what Paul is saying here, I yearn, I long for you. He could have said, I yearn, I long for you with all of my heart. But what he says is, I yearn or I long for you, not with my heart. I want to take it to a whole nother level. I yearn or long for you with the heart of Jesus. Paul's essentially saying here, I love and miss you and want to be with you as much as Jesus does. That's amazing. Paul has begun this letter with deep and intense thanksgiving and joy and a longing for the Philippians believers. And I hope you felt that this morning. Because again, this lays the foundation for the rest of this letter. It's with this foundation Paul's now going to interact with these Philippians. And he's going to warn them. He's going to encourage them. He's going to challenge them. But it's with this heart of thanksgiving and joy and longing that he does. And again, keep in mind, this isn't Paul writing a letter to Philippians. This is God-inspired word given to us who have faith in Jesus Christ. This is our Heavenly Father who has joy and thanksgiving and longs for us. And he's going with that attitude. He's going to encourage and spur us on in our faith as well. This is what awaits us as we continue our study through the book of Philippians. And I'm excited, and I hope you will be, and I think God's going to really bless us through this letter. Will you stand as the worship team comes and closes us in a song?